You're listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Well, yesterday was an amazing day at the Women's Spring Brunch. This annual event has grown and grown, and it was just tremendous. Mandy, you and your team just did a fantastic job of organizing, and the men that served, thank you so much for making that happen. And then Rhonda Brown, man, she just outdid herself yesterday speaking to our women. And I recognize, and I don't want this day to go by without acknowledging this, I recognize that Mother's Day is a joy for some and a burden for others. Because of the events of life, sometimes holiday weekends and holidays can be tough, especially the first. And if you've lost your mother this year, my heart breaks for you, because I know how tough it is to spend a holiday, an event, a birthday or whatever. That first is always tough without them. And so I want you to know you're not forgotten today. I know there's others in the room that you long to be a mother, but for some reason that has not happened yet. You're not forgotten today either. God sees you. He knows your heart. The scripture says he bottles up every tear. And I promise you, you're not forgotten. And I just want to take this moment and just say, we love you. We're praying for you, and praying for God's strength as you go through this day. Amen? Amen. Well, you are in for a treat today. And I promise you, I haven't retired. This is 3 weeks in a row that I haven't been able to preach here. But I am so excited to introduce our guest speaker today, because she's not a stranger. And in my opinion, she's the mama of this house. And I think you're going to be blessed today. Would you put your hands together and welcome my wife, Mandy McKinley?
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my beautiful mother. She sits behind me every Sunday morning, and that is such a blessing to me. Thank you for your selflessness. Thank you for always modeling the way for me, showing me how to pray, showing me how to believe. I'm not sure if my daughter-in-law is in the room today, but happy Mother's Day, Mariah. Thank you for giving me the most beautiful grandson I could have ever asked for. Would you help me today to welcome our Trenton campus? Amen. Thank you. And also help me welcome the wonderful women at the FWRC. Before I begin today, I want to speak to the women there. I know that you would rather be any other place than where you were at, but I want you to know that today you are seen and you are loved and you are prayed over. God sees you, and he hears your prayers at night. Praise him for that today. So, on the way home from church, little Johnny was really quiet. His mother asked him 3 times, "What's wrong?" Finally, the boy spoke up and said, "Well, today the pastor said how he wanted us all to be brought up in a Christian home, but I just want to stay with you guys." Gotta love honesty, right? So if your child was asked what your home resembled, what would be their answer? Would they talk about the brick and mortar or what's really going inside that home? Today, I want to talk to you about the nest. God gave me this word as I was sitting down there listening to one of Rocky's sermons, and I wrote down the nest, and I didn't know where it was going to be heading from there. But he stirred in my heart a message. And I thought about all the different stages, the seasons as women that we are in. I mean, some of you are preparing to leave the nest. There's some young women in here that are looking at colleges. And you're preparing to leave that nest. Some of you are setting up your nest for the first time. You're just moving out and setting up that home that you have longed for. And some of you are nesting. That miracle that you've prayed for is now real and alive inside of you, and you have found yourself nesting. And some of us are empty nesters in more ways than one. Some of us, our children have left the home, and some of us are without a spouse today. And I want you to know that whatever season you're in today, I hope this message reaches you, and not just the women in this place, but the men, the sons, the daughters that are here today. I'm a bird watcher. I mentioned this a few years ago at a brunch, and some of you are like, don't like birds. Mm-mm. They're weird. They smell. But I think they're beautiful creatures. The colors that their wingspan, the tweeting, you know, it's a beautiful sound early in the morning when you step out on your porch. The freedom they must feel as they just soar across the sky. Watching a bird build a nest is very time-consuming. They are very detailed as they place each twig and soft fur in just the right places. It reminds me a little bit of watching women go up and down the aisles in Hobby Lobby trying to create this perfect place that we live in also. Well, about 8 years ago, before we moved to the home we live in now, we had a family of cardinals and a family of mockingbirds that moved right into our shrubbery in front of our front window. Rocky would come home and find me sitting at the big window there with it just lifted just a little bit, just watching these mother birds sit on their baby eggs. Well, one day I pulled up in the driveway, had my hands pretty full of stuff from work, and as I'm coming to the front door, all I can see is something heading straight for my head. And I'm ducking, I'm doing this, and I'm trying to move away. I run back to the car, pull myself together, and I realize that was a bird. So I go back and I'm gonna try it again. Same thing, straight at my head. I don't know if this looked like a bird's nest or what it looks like, but I knew I wasn't gonna win, so I went through the garage. And I thought, what did I do? And when I sat down in front of that window, I realized that those baby birds had hatched and that mama bird was just protecting her house. I can relate to that mama bird. I've wanted to come in all kamikaze on a couple of people that came at my kids. You don't mess with mama, right? One of my favorite verses is Psalm 91:4. And I know we want to shelter our children, but God is a protector too. And it says, Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. So on top of being a bird watcher, I've started watching some eagle cams also. I know you're gonna think I'm weird. Where does she find the time to do that? But I'm so intrigued by the word of God and how many illustrations that are used in there talking about birds and eagles and nests. And the family dynamic of eagles is very fascinating. I have noticed on these eagle cams that they have personality. They have determination. They are loyal. They are fierce. They are protective and attentive. It reminds me so much of a mother. They build their nest out of rough sticks and they line it with mud and leaves. And they often have to kill a small animal like a rabbit or a squirrel to use the fur to make it soft for their little eaglets. In these cams, you can see the care and concern that they have for their babies. They have a responsibility to feed and protect them. The mother is very attentive and broods over them for a while, but there also will come a time that is very soon that she will begin to stir her nest. As those little eaglets are growing and maturing, that mama bird prompts them to step out of the nest and play right there on the rocky ledge just a little bit. As they're playing on that ledge, the mother will go and take out the soft lining out of the nest that night, so when the eaglets return, it feels a little uncomfortable. A few days later, when these eagles are playing, the mother will take her powerful wing and sweep over the nest to stir it. That night, the eagles have to sleep out in the cold. A few days later, the father eagle will take one of those eagles one at a time on his back and fly high over the valley. Just about the time when the little eagle is just enjoying the scenery, that father eagle will dive out from underneath that little eagle and allow him to fall. As that little eagle begins to fall and tumble, its natural instinct is to begin to flap its wings. You see, the power of flight is within that eagle, but it is yet unknown to them because it has never been challenged before. But out of this situation comes the will to live. And during that free fall, they flail and they beat at the air without success until fatigue renders them limp. Then just before that little eagle hits the ground, the father eagle swoops down, catches that little eagle, and returns it safely to the nest. The next day, another lesson, and the next day, another lesson. This stage is repeated over and over again until that little eagle can fly for himself. You see, spiritual maturity and wisdom, it should be happening in our homes in much the same way. In us and in our children, over and over each day. In my own home, I can look back and see many times when the nest was stirred. I can look back at the milestones that I had to let go just a little bit from kindergarten to college. I learned that that grasp that I had was slowly releasing. There are times that I protected way too much. And when I look back, it did hinder my children. I'm not going to sit up here today and tell you that we did everything perfectly. But with God, He made up for those mistakes. He covered them. He sheltered us as parents. And we learned to trust God even more. I kept them too close. There are a few times that I think, I never let my daughter drive home from Cleveland, Tennessee to Newberry, Florida ever in 4 years. Rocky or I drove up there every time or we flew her down. That is ridiculous. But you know what? It was my fears that kept her from driving. And then letting her go to college, you may say, wow, she was able to do that. And I was, only through God. Because that was the hardest thing, to absolutely let her go and go up there without knowing a soul. And when Rocky makes fun of my groaning as we're driving back home, yes, as a mama bird leaving her baby up there 7 hours away, it was some of the worst pain ever, but God gave me the strength. Today I want to talk to you about three mothers in the Bible who modeled the way for us, who fully trusted God. I'm going to talk about a protector, a prayer warrior, and a preparer. That first mother that we're going to talk about is Moses' mother, Jochebed. We find Jochebed's story in a time where the Jewish people were flourishing because of the bravery of Joseph. But this makes a new Pharaoh very, very nervous. And he's paranoid of the power that God's people have, so he commands that every newborn be killed. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus 2, verses 1 through 9, and if you just want to keep your Bibles open today, we're going to be skipping around just a little bit. But in Exodus 2, 1 through 9, it says, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for as she explained, I lifted him out of the water. This mother did all she could for 3 months and recognized that she could no longer hide this special baby. She coated a basket with tar and pitch, essentially making a nest for him. I can only imagine, like many of us mothers, she prayed, she constructed a plan, and she trusted God with the rest. She gave Moses a chance at life, and she had to let her baby boy go. I'm also fascinated, though, in a little part of this story at the strength and courage of this daughter, Miriam. As you read the scriptures, you see that she abandoned her hiding spot, her safe place. She could have stayed put in that hidden place and ran back to her mom and told her about Pharaoh's daughter finding baby Moses. But instead, she steps up and she speaks and offers a solution that gives them more time with this vulnerable baby. I have to think that not only Moses, but this daughter Miriam was brave because she was being raised by a brave mother. Jochebed was a protector, and that protective spirit and trust in God gave her the courage to defy an evil king's murderous plot. She used what she had, and she released that baby boy to God's plan. That's hard. That's hard sometimes to let go. But the spiritual foundation that she lays during the short time she had with Moses would make a difference years later when Moses is struggling and ultimately will follow God's calling on his life. But she instilled in him the faith and identity that would later define his leadership and his mission. I don't have time today to go into all of the story of Moses. It's pretty fascinating. And if I would give you any homework today, I would say go home and study the life of Moses. He goes through trying times to save his people with his own strength. He second guesses himself. He suffers. There's a wilderness period. And I don't know about you, but my kids have went through all that also. But in that wilderness period, he learns to rely on God and is transformed by God's presence. Parents, we need to stop rescuing our kids from the wilderness period. They have to have the opportunity to see God provide. And that only comes when they're walking in that wilderness period. When Moses is coming to the end of his life, he recounts the time when they faced the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh were closing in behind him, but the Heavenly Father was there. Or the time when they ran out of water in the middle of the wilderness and the people were thirsty. In fact, they were mad with thirst. And they were talking of killing Moses, stoning him. But God lifted them up and gave them water out of the rock. And as Moses is nearing the end of his life, in Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12, he gives us a great illustration. Listen, as he describes God's faithfulness to the children of Israel. He, God, found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him, he kept them as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He didn't want anyone else to get the glory but the Almighty God. There was no foreign God with him. How the Heavenly Father just swooped down time and time again for Moses. Moses had a spirit of gratitude. But this couldn't happen without the bravery and the sacrifice of his mother. Rocky has challenged all of us this year that it is time for us to put our big girl pants on and big boy pants on, and we're gonna grow in spiritual maturity and wisdom. So today, I may ruffle a little bit of feathers, okay? But I have been challenged by this message to share with you what we are to do as parents or people that may not be parents, but you are instructing and inspiring kids. I agree with Rocky 100%. It's time that we stop babying ourselves and our children and we grow. Our children will inherit two things, one of two things, okay? God's promises or our fears. It's inevitable. They are going to inherit one of these things. And if Jochebed would have listened to her fears and held on to her baby boy, it would have gotten him killed. But she chose to trust God and release him. In the letting go came the blessing. I look at my adult children and I remember the nights of broken hearts, fear of the unknown, uncertainty of God's plan, anxiety, and loneliness. But you know, I've also had the privilege of seeing their mended hearts, God's plan continually being played out, peace and godly relationships. And as I look back over it all, I see God's hand. I may not have been able to fully believe it or even see it every time, but I am thankful for a loving God who gently showed us how to let go and nudged us a little more often to say, release. You may think it was easy for us because you see our children serving God, but none of it was easy. Parenting is not easy. It's one of the hardest jobs besides marriage that I've ever done. There were times of second-guessing ourselves, but I'm so thankful that together, Rocky and I, in our home, we would choose who we would serve, and that would be the Lord. And it wouldn't be that we would pick and choose what situations we would do that. It was in every situation, and our kids knew that. And we weren't going to be pushovers. They weren't going to tell us how they were going to do it. We made a decision together, and we followed through on that. We made mistakes, but we were honest with our kids and communicated how we could have done it differently. We had to continually seek God's will and follow through on the promise that He gave us that we made at their dedication. This is not just for pictures to sit on your little entry table, but this is a true responsibility that you are dedicating them back to the Lord. And that day that we did that, I realized the heavy responsibility that we had just taken on. We need to put Him first before anything else. The second mother I want to talk to you about today is Hannah. Hannah was a prayer warrior. As you look through the scriptures, this is the first woman that actually prayed, that said that she prayed. Hannah was a lonely woman. She longed for a baby for many years, and she would go to the temple day after day and weep and cry. But you know what? God answered that prayer. And we pick her story up in 1 Samuel 1, 26 through 28. She says, "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Wow. They, meaning not only her, but her child, worshiped the Lord there too. He and his mom. She had prayed. The Lord had granted her this child. She named him Samuel, and she followed through with her promise because at the age of his weaning, she brought him back to the temple, and he served the Lord God the rest of his life. Now, don't be dropping your kids off here. Different times. But the message here is, parents, we got to get our kids to church. The house of God. This is God's house. We can't neglect the importance of this house. David pens this beautiful psalm and his longing to be in God's house. Psalm 84. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." And then in verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Our children are depending on us to get them to God's house. Discipleship starts at home, and it's enhanced here. Don't be depending on this to get you all the discipleship that your kids need. This is a place where it enhances what you do at home, what you teach at home. If we can put our kids' hands in the hands of Jesus, we've accomplished all that matters. But we also need to have daily prayer with our children and for our children. If we don't know God's plan, how can our children ever know it? We have to know. We have to dedicate time to know what God's will is. And God's plan for your children will require you to trust God as much as it will require your children to trust God. But let me tell you, no one believes in your children the way you do. We are created. We are in His image. He believes in us, and we believe in them. And we teach them this over and over again, that we believe in them. When Thomas Edison was young, his teacher sent him home with this note that said, Your child is dumb, and we can't do anything for him. Miss Edison wrote back, "You do not understand, my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did. And he has 1,100 patents, including inventions of the light bulb and phonograph. Being a mother sometimes requires a strong stand when someone else gives up on them. When maybe the world is looking at you saying, that doesn't make sense. But when you know what God is speaking to you, you stand firm and confident. There is nothing more beautiful than a confident mama that is taking care of her young. We have to give them vision and see our children the way God sees them. For their potential, we have to prepare them. But we can't prepare them without God's strength for ourselves. And in Isaiah 40, 31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Friends, you're not going to get very far without leaning on the everlasting arms of God. You're going to become weary in doing good at times, and your passion will burn out. And sadly, some of us will not return back to God for that strength, and we become lukewarm in our walk with Christ. And I want to tell you today that lukewarm parents rarely ever produce passionate, believing children. It rarely ever works. You need to determine now how your house will serve the Lord, because your child's future is depending on you. And if we aren't living the same life at home that we are living here at church or maybe at our workplace, our children will pick up on that. They will repeat this behavior, and they will learn to put on those masks and act exactly how you act when you're in front of certain people. We need to be consistent in our behavior. One of the great children's programs of all time was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I'm telling you my age. I'm sorry. I know some of you don't even know who Mr. Rogers is, but I'm old school, but it taught me a lot during my childhood. A study was done to see why children were so impressed with this rather odd program, and this is what they discovered. Every day at the same time, Mr. Rogers came through a door into their living room. Children were at home facing him as he came through the door, as though the children were in the room with him. He would take his jacket off, hang it up. He would take a cardigan sweater out of the closet, put on his slippers, and there he would greet the children again in the same tone. Every day, over and over again, it was the same, a ritual. It was reliable. It was predictable. The children felt seen. But sadly, some parents aren't even coming in the door at the same time every day to greet these children. I know our schedules get crazy, but if you aren't coming in the door to see your children before they go to sleep at least 3 to 4 times a week, you need to change your schedule. We have a short period of time with these children, and we need to be present. Rituals reinforce absolutes that are necessary to every child. That nurture, it builds respect. It builds trust. Now hear me. We love sports, music, dance, and so on. Our kids were involved. These have a place in our lives. But what is built in the home cannot be built on a sports field, dance, or music studio. Again, that is an enhancement into what your children are longing to do as talents and gifts. But if this isn't balanced, your child will put more importance on that than being in his house every week. We have to model that way for them. Reading your Bible should be a daily ritual. How can we gain strength if we're not in his word? Because that is the only place that I gain strength. But let me also tell you that it sounds like a lot of rules right now, but rules without relationship never work. I used to have this saying in my kitchen that said, "Kitchen is for dancing." And I have these memories, some good, some bad, that my kids had procrastinated a little and they had these projects that were due the next day. And I would get over some of my anger and have a praise break. And I'd say, "Come on, guys, we're going to dance. We're going to turn on some songs and we're going to dance. Kendallwood, Caleb." But I could feel they were stressed. And at this moment, a lesson wasn't going to happen right in that moment. We had to get the project done. The lesson would come much later. But I would stop and pray first before I lost it. And then sometimes we would do that little dance, a goofy thing that they will probably always remember their mom for. It feels good to laugh with your children and to be a little goofy. These rituals are important too. An afternoon ice cream run, a walk around the block. Consistent times are a must for your children to see you have fun with them. So let me ask you, if you are desiring to influence and impact your children in the ways of Jesus, what are you doing to grow your faith? What efforts are you taking to become the person that you long for your child to be? Do your grandchildren come over and ask you to pray for them? There is a responsibility for grandparents also, aunts and uncles in the room. We should be learning to lean on the everlasting arms of God to push these children toward God's will. So we've heard that Jochebed was a protector, Hannah was a prayer warrior, and our third mom, Eunice, was a preparer. Children become what they see, and the Bible shows us this through Timothy. His faith was first lived in his mom Eunice and his grandma Lois. When you long to see kids grow and mature, it must be first present in you. And in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, Paul tells us that something that caused Timothy to become the person he was as an adult. Verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Paul knew that Timothy, when he was a mere toddler, began to learn the scriptures. His grandma and his mom made it their mission. They took the time to. They made a point that this was important. Equipped for every good work. So the principle here, it's never too early to start. And if you're sitting here and say, "Well, Mandy, it's too late. My kids are older." It's not ever too late. Read your Bible now, learn those verses, tell the stories, talk to God with your adult children, not just your littles. This will give your child roots that will anchor them for the years ahead. At the New Halem National Park Visitor Center in Washington, there is a display of a certain pine tree. And next to the example, it shows a tree and a description. And during the first 5 years of that tree's life, the tree only grows a foot above the ground. But during those first 5 years of the tree's life, it grows roots 4 feet deep. Roots that will be able to hold that tree in place. Roots that will be able to find deep waters and dry times. Roots that will keep that tree alive. Our children get blown off course very easily, and they are easily deceived in this world today. Parents, give them roots so when it's time to make the hard decisions and you're not there, they can be strong. And let me mention a third thing that Timothy's mom did, just like the other two. She let him go. She released him to God's greater glory and purpose. And again, for us moms, that is one of the hardest things to do. As that mom was able to let Timothy go, he joined Paul in his second missionary journey, and the two of them traveled very far. They encountered desperate situations and God-glorifying occasions. But nowhere do we see Eunice saying, "Stay here, don't go. I will make this nest so comfortable you will never want to leave. I didn't raise you for this. Stay with me." No, here was a mom who trusted in God's love, provision, calling, and care more than her own abilities, finances, or feelings. Timothy was God's first and hers second, and she let him go. Jochebed let Moses go, Hannah let Samuel go, Eunice let Timothy go, even Elizabeth let John the Baptist go, and Mary had to let Jesus go. Each of these women could have sheltered them in the nest and never taught them to fly, but they didn't. And because of that, their impact is still changing our lives today. Do not underestimate what God can do through you and your children. Moms, don't ever question your God-given role to care, nurture, and bring up your child in the ways of the Lord. Do not apologize for that to anybody else or anything. Your home is the incubator for your babies to be strong for their future, because we only have this short period of time and we need to make it count. As I said earlier, you may say, well, Mandy, it's too late for us. I can't go back and redo it. And that is a lie you are choosing to believe. I know moms right here in this room that came to Christ with adult children. Through learning, praying, and trusting God, their children are now serving God and in church with them today. So it is never too late. The Heavenly Father is about to swoop down and put you on his wings for those that feel tired today. Surrender to his will and he will show you your next steps. But you know, we will never know the feeling of the everlasting arms of a Heavenly Father lifting us out if we never experience those battles and burdens of fear. Although I hate it. I hate it when fear creeps in and I know a battle is coming and I'm going to have to fight. Because in James, I'm reminded that it tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance will finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Some of you are here today and your nest feels like it's been torn apart and you're just saying, I'm picking up the pieces. You feel like you're about to crash on those rocks below, and maybe your cry this week has been, why, Lord? But let me remind you that you can't fall any faster than that father eagle can fly and catch his little baby. Our Father will swoop down and pick us up and let us rest for a while. I think about a time when I had cancer almost 28 years ago, and I was young, and it was my first chemo treatment. And a week after this chemo treatment, I became very ill, running a fever. Rocky happened to be working out of town at his job, and the doctor wanted me to come in. My parents came and loaded me up in their car, and we raced down the interstate to North Florida from Lake City. As I laid in the back with my head in my mom's lap, her praying with everything that she knew to pray with, and my dad just getting me there as fast as he could. I'm thankful for parents that rush me to Jesus and rush me to the places that they know I can get help. And in that story and thinking about my parents and not knowing the uncertainty of their baby girl and what was going to happen, even though I was an adult by then, I remember a time also that I felt so alone, didn't have those parents to help get me there because I was much older. No one to feel my comfort, to give me comfort in a private hell I was going through. My nest was being stirred and I had to learn on my own how to get to Jesus. And in those two stories of my life, I am reminded of a story in Mark chapter 5. We find a man named Jairus who ran to Jesus because his daughter was sick. We also, in that same scripture, find a woman in need of healing also. Two people, different stories, but both in need of a touch from Jesus. One we only know by the woman with the issue of blood, the other who was known as Jairus' daughter. And Jairus ran to Jesus in desperate need of healing for his daughter. The woman with the issue of blood was all alone. She didn't have a mom or a dad or anyone to carry her to Jesus. But she pushed through that crowd. And what I find here in these scriptures in chapter 5 of Mark is that Jesus cared for both of these ladies. So much so that he could have just kept going to Jairus' house, to this little baby girl. But when he felt the power leave him, he stopped. And he turned around. And it said he looked for her. Mark 5:30 says, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around, Jesus is looking for you. Then that frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." She not only found her healing that day, but she found a name. A name that she probably had not heard in a very long time. Daughter. She belonged to somebody. She had a heavenly Father who cared deeply for her. Today you may be sitting here and you are longing to be called mother. You have yet to hear those words. Or maybe you just haven't heard your children call you mother in a long time because you're estranged. But today, all of us have the identity of daughter. You are a daughter of God. I want you to rest in that peace today, that know you are chosen by God. He looks for you. But you know what? We have to press through the crowds sometimes that are going against us. And we have to do the hard things as daughters of God, as mothers of our littles. This woman received that identity, and she is a daughter. And further down, we find this daughter still fighting for her life, and these people rush and say she's dead. There's no need to come. The crowd laughed at Jesus. I can relate to that sometimes. They laugh at some of the things that the Lord has impressed on my heart. But you know what Jesus did? He got rid of the naysayers and made them all leave. And he took that girl's father and mother and his three disciples, and holding her hand, he said, "Little girl, get up." And that girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. The Lord always provides what we need. These were two daughters, two different stories, and Jesus met both needs. He is more than capable today for your need. Whatever you have brought today into this house, he sees you. As we are all in the different seasons, reassure that we all have identity in him no matter what our season looks like. And if we find that identity first, our homes will reflect the image of God, and all the things that we are fearing will be added to it. We are made in his image. Put your precious gifts in the hands of Jesus and see what he can do. And I'm going to leave you with one last scripture in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Guys, everything you need, not just some of it, but all of it. And like the sparrow that lacks for nothing, how much more does he take care of us? Today, determine that our nests are vital to the growth and maturity of those who will one day leave it. So how will they leave? Will they inherit God's promises or your fears? We must face our own fears today so we can position our children for God's promises.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.